special note of my colleague on this short presentation, Deborah Kalmus, who is not only sweet and smart and funny, but she just really is great in terms of what we're all trying to do, which is to bring more evidence-based, more systematically planned and strategically marketed and high-quality services to the young men that we work with. So I want to acknowledge her. She's on the train back to New York now. I'm going to just very quickly say this. I want you to understand the context just a little bit. The Young Men's Health Initiative at Columbia is really clinic-based, school-based, and community-based. And I'm going to say a little bit about each one of them before I talk about some of the lessons that we've learned and the challenges we faced. But it's really in a lot of different venues. And it's been around for a while, like Nick said, before I had gray hair. And actually, I just realized that the clinic is 20 years old, and I told you my son is 20 years old, so I don't know what the kind... Today's also my wedding anniversary, so I want to tell you that. Thank you very much. The Young Men's Clinic, I'm going to say a few things about, was established in 1987. That's the front of the building now. Nick used to work there, but when it was tucked away in the top of the hospital. And the funding, I have to acknowledge, obviously, is from a lot of different sources, but the Ford Foundation has helped us a lot over the past year to actually get back out into the community where we started. And the Office of Family Planning has been remarkably supportive of the work that we've done. So I want to acknowledge them. This is the only sexual reproductive health clinic for men in the New York metropolitan area. It provides primary care, but it's really focused primarily on sexual and reproductive health. We only meet three times a week. We meet in the same clinic space as the Women's Family Planning Clinic meets. It's quite a wide range, 12 to 35 years old, although 85% of the guys are 20 plus. So it's not a little boys' clinic like it used to be before I had gray hair. The annual visits to the Young Men's Clinic, just to show you utilization, has climbed. And I mean, if anybody wonders, will men come to a clinic, you know that corny phrase, if you build it, they will come from Field of Dreams? The answer is really yes. They will come if you set up the clinic, I think, in a friendly way, and if you market it. And so in 2005, we had 35. It's interesting, over the last three or four last bars, is when we got additional money from the Office of Family Planning to do some outreach. We do a lot of work in the schools. I'm not going to say a lot about this. We have many, many school-based health centers that we run at Columbia. In three of them, from a variety of funding sources, we have a male health educator nestled within the comprehensive school-based clinic team. That's actually George Washington High School, where we have a school-based clinic. That's where Henry Kissinger went to school. That school is about 380 years old, and it's up in Washington Heights. But we do a lot of work in schools. I'm going to say a little bit more about working in schools that don't have school-based clinics in a moment. I want to show this slide just because in one of our what we do in the schools is try to recruit guys into the clinic through a variety of ways, something as unsophisticated as sitting in the cafeteria and eating lunch with them, to presenting at faculty meetings, you know, the real gatekeepers, to if there isn't a jogging or a track team, starting one. To we actually started a soccer team at George Washington High School, which now is legitimate in the city of New York, but we started it as a club because we had a lot of Central American and Mexican kids at the school. But in the year that we got funding, a separate source of funding, a very small grant that I wrote to OPA, Office of Family Planning, around 2000, you look at 21% of the guys in the school using the school-based clinic health education services, and then take a look at how it shot up after somebody infused some money. I mean, that's, I think, pretty remarkable. I don't think anybody's claiming that all those guys changed their behavior remarkably. We're not saying that they're all 100% condom users, but at least we have a fighting chance by talking with them. The community work, and this is a community-based organization right by my office, called New Heights Neighborhood Center. The community work we do is really in a lot of different ways. One is we just call outposting. We've identified beacon schools that are open all night, and I send staff out to play basketball and just recruit. And these could be medical students. It's really labor, not intensive, and it's so easy. And actually, for me, it's fun because once in a while I actually do it myself. We have also, and this is one of the agencies we did it at, created sexual reproductive health modules, short three-session, one-hour-at-a-time kinds of sexual reproductive health educational modules, and embedded it inside the community-based organizations. And that, actually, Deborah reported on yesterday. And if you want that paper, I have my cards. You can come and get it. But we saw some good improvements in knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors. And then the thing I want to just talk about for a moment without slide is something called capacity building. And this is really a talk unto itself, and it's the thing that I'm actually most excited about these days, so I'm going to talk about it. We really believe that the Young Men's Clinic and a health clinic for men is a great thing. I wish I had one when I was younger, but it's not the only thing. The guys are out there. The guys who are disconnected from work and from school, who don't have health insurance, the guys really who, and Nick and I were having a long discussion about this last night, where gender-based violence is being perpetrated on them because, you know, if they are caught with marijuana in their pocket, they're forever not going to get a Pell Grant to go back to school. I mean, it's really disgraceful, some of the things that are happening in the country. And so what we do is we have identified community-based organizations who work with young men, and this is one of them, where we actually went out and we've trained their staff. We've brought them to the Young Men's Clinic to show them it's not so scary, it's not so awful. We've gotten each other on each other's websites. We've hung up our marketing cartoons in their place. We have downloaded our video about the Young Men's Clinic onto their hard drives. We have taken some of their young people over to the Young Men's Clinic to do their internships. We've really made, and my favorite slide, which Deborah told me not to bring, and I'm now mad at her, is that, you know, because PowerPoint can be overdone, I know, where two circles come together, Young Men's Clinic and this place in particular, where you become a multi-service center without a roof. And that's really what's happened in this particular case. And we call it capacity building. We actually got this group, and I loved what you said about getting more of the providers asking the question. We've been getting some of the agencies we work with to add to their intake form a couple of questions. When's the last time you got checked? Do you have a regular doctor? Have you ever heard of the Young Men's Clinic? Would you like to make an appointment? Do you know other places to go? And we sent our students out to find other health clinics in the neighborhood, and we've laminated, you know, done all that pretty stuff and given it to them, so they now have places to refer the guys, right? They may never come to the Young Men's Clinic. So I wanted to talk about that community work. The evaluation of these programs, you can look at the presentation I just made about our evaluation of our waiting room health education activities and Deborah's of our school, of our community-based work. And again, I'll give you, you can write to us and we'll send them to you. This is what I'm supposed to talk about. So real fast, because time will run out before I know it. The idea here is this, you know, that no man is an island, right? Like John Donne wrote that great thing, right? We're all connected, and no man is an island. And so the challenge for us is how does a health clinic develop and sustain community partnerships? Because that's really the crux of it, as far as I'm concerned. And one of the very simple lessons that I have learned through a lot of mistakes, too, is how important it is to get to know these places. To get to know the history of a school, to get to know the hierarchy of the place, to get to know the structure of the staff, and who are the stable people within the agency, and what is the CEO really, how does she or he like to work? A fast example, in a place that we're working with in Harlem now for about 6 months, we almost blew the whole thing by asking for too much data too fast. And all of a sudden it was, there's the Columbia people again, asking for research and don't give a poop about the neighborhood or the guys. And I had to backtrack. I actually marched out with Dave Bell, who's our medical director, who's this wonderful, charming guy, to show her how nice he was to get over the mistake that we made. And I was part of that mistake. So getting to know how things work, becoming useful on their terms. It's taken about three times with me and my staff going to this agency I just described to train the staff before we started to get referrals. This last week we got our first two referrals, but it took three times for me to go and some other people to go to train them on how do you even ask basic questions to your clients about sexual and reproductive health. So building relationships, just like individual relationships, takes time, and we can't rush it or we're going to explode. A trade-off here is that I haven't been able to administer the pretest on whether this training is working, because if I did, I think I would have been thrown out of my can. We're going to have to do it with the next cohort. That's the way it goes, You know, and I think that's the challenge of service-based research. You know, building relationships takes time. I pretty much talked about that. Being useful on their terms, I just want to give a quick example again. Going to this agency, what they told us was, we don't really want to talk a lot about sex right now. What we want is you or one of your doctors to come over and help our guys withdraw from marijuana more peacefully. So now Dave, our medical director, is putting together a workshop for their clients on how to decrease the agita and so on. We really have to be useful on the other people's terms. Building community assets. We found a newspaper in the neighborhood, and they just wrote an article about the Young Men's Clinic, and now it's being marketed throughout Washington Heights. We identified agencies that are good, and we've actually been spilling over from one agency to another. You know how? That snowballing technique. The woman who runs that agency in the big building I showed you has been, because now she loves us and we love her, has been recommending good CBOs. And now I've got my foot in the door in a couple of months where it took me a couple of years in the past. And then sustaining relationships over time. And a very quick idea, we have found in a lot of the CBOs we work with, staff turns over. So what we've been doing is identifying within the agency a key person on the staff that would lock in with us, who's middle management probably, who gets the Young Men's Clinic sweatshirt, who trades phone numbers with our gatekeepers in our clinics, so that we train them even more so that they can train their staff as staff turns over. How do we adapt to the lack of male-friendly health education materials? You know, there's a real paucity of that, so what we did was we've been developing our own. And we've done that always. We've done a lot of formative research. For example, the video that we created that we use now to download on the computers of schools and CBOs, we had first asked the guys, what is it that keeps you from coming? And the biggest finding we had was we're terrified of finding out bad news. So guess what? On the video, we load up in that 6 minutes messages about don't be so afraid, they're really nice there. Don't be so afraid, you sleep better at night. But we built it up from the ground. Positive messaging, which we should all talk about forever. It can't be messages like, come on in, we'll catch you with a disease and add to your headaches, but you can't find a job, you know, you got a criminal record, now I'm going to tell you, you have chlamydia, right? So come on in and see us. So what we've been working on is trying to find those positive messages like the ball is in your court, take charge of your health, that kind of stuff. And we still haven't found the answers, but we are working on it. How do we strategically market our services? We have a great clinic. I think those of you that have visited know that it's pretty high quality and it's really a friendly place for guys. But how do you market it when you have limited resources? How do you segment your marketing activities to go after your segmented parts of your audiences? And again, we come back to mapping community assets. One quick example. John F. Kennedy High School in the Bronx is a school that has no clinic. We wanted to work there. I could have gone in there with my staff and done the usual health education, you know, come to see us. What we did instead was we took time and we created, just like community asset mapping, an asset of the school where we literally mapped out every floor of the 8 floors of that high school. And guess what? We found out that they had, for a school that has not a great reputation for educational achievement, a fabulous newspaper. And last year, in one semester, we got 2 front-page articles about the Young Men's Clinic on their school newspaper that went out to 4,000 kids and their parents. This is a great athletic school, so guess what? We gave long-sleeve T-shirts in the school's color with the Young Men's Clinic to all of their sports teams so that they're really walking billboards. We identified within the school places where we could hang our marketing cartoons. We've met with the PTA. We've met with the guidance counselors who are the gatekeepers. But we did it after we learned what were the strengths of the school. Positive messaging, very, very quickly, building on the same idea. The 5 marketing cartoons that we have, I can tell you how we frame come on into the clinic. The one on emergency contraception is, you can find out about it when you call Carlos, your friend, when he gets back home from work. Men work. Men always aren't on the dole or hanging out on the street. Depo Provera, sitting in the subway station, a guy's talking to his girlfriend saying, you know, I feel fine going with her while she waits to get examined. It's my job. Hernia, the thing that triggers the hernia is what? He's picking his baby up out of a baby carriage. Men are good, and we need to send that kind of message. STIs, come get checked with urine testing. they're coming out of a community college. And then the one about going to this agency for a job referral help is two guys coming out of the Young Men's Clinic and saying, I got to continue to take care of business. Dr. Bell said it's a really good place. They can help you find a job. And the same cartoon markets two agencies. That's the reason why that woman let me come in and train her staff. That's why she gave them release time to come on over to the clinic to sit on our tables and meet all of our staff. And then finally, because I think my time is just about up next. 2 minutes? One? Sure. 2 minutes. Service-based research. We're friends. That's why he gave me two. Okay. Service-based research is central. I've already said this pretty much, but it's so important to do the formative work. We all know that. That video was made because the guys told us how to make it. And you go on down the line. The fourth one, compromising methodological rigor. The paper I just gave, we found significant findings in increased improvement in knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors. We didn't have a control group. So right away, you can blow me out of the water. But it was something. It's given us some good ideas. We actually did some qualitative work around that study, and we found some concerns about slowing down traffic through the clinic. And now what we're working on is self-spooling PowerPoint slides, where you don't even need a leader in the waiting room. It can spool on its own with music underneath while you entertain the guys, and you don't have to hold them back from the doctor. And that's pretty much it. If you want to learn more about the Young Men's Clinic, we finally have a website after 20 years. That's it. And I have cards so you can have our papers. And we do have a paper coming out in February in Health Policy Management, something or other. And it's about service-based research. And it describes a lot of these formative and process evaluation ideas that I threw out to you. Okay? Good luck.